for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, December the 26th, 2007. Chris Simpson is the speaker of the morning, teaching on the blindness of the reality we see. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
The reality we see is really a fog. This reality is really just darkness, man. You know, under the prince of the power of the air, I mean, there's a spirit that rules. And only in little pockets of environments where the gospel is preached, people worship Jesus. Right? And the anointing, I could felt the anointing about five songs in, right? Right? Maybe about six songs in. It finally came. She was pumping us a little bit, trying to get the... The anointing, yeah, it was good, because it was pulling. I didn't know hen had teeth. Finally, some anointing came in the room. All right, and the words be preached. Now, right now, there's a little space, a little bubble in there, and you're actually sensing right now, as the word is going under the anointing, the reality. Most of the time, we don't sense reality. We're out mucking around in the yuck of this, the world, the flesh, and the demon. Can I amen? So that's why you're here, is to grab a hold of reality so you can, again, fill your tank. You can go out there. And when you encounter, maybe before the end of the day, I would encourage some of y'all to think about doing on a healing safari. That's kind of cool. That's a new, you know, it'd be radical in the flesh or all legalistic about it. Just, I tell people, here's a simple way to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast that out. It just takes two words. Two words. You ready? Two words. Wherever you go, use two words. You know what they are? I'm available. Y'all got that? When you walk into a store, you walk into Walmart, I'm available to Jesus. That's what I got to say. And then stay available. And maybe say, Lord, what would you have me to see? What would you have me to do? You know, you'd be amazed if you walk into a place like that with all these needs and you say that. How the Holy Ghost, probably an angel, been walking with you for 6 years, bored stiff. Right? All he does is rescue you. You can't, I mean, his sword, you can't pull it out. It's all rusty in there. You know? Put him to work, man. I'm available. Demon goes, what? The other day, look at this. He's all eager for us to do something. You know? And so all of a sudden, well, guess what? The Spirit will whisper to you. You're walking along and some lady, a Hispanic lady, a little child walks by and you're pushing your buggy and all of a sudden a thought comes in your mind. Some out of nowhere, you know. And you hear the word divorce and you feel a hurt. And you're pushing your buggy down Walmart and a Hispanic lady walks by. Do you know that could be a word of knowledge? You don't know what a word of knowledge is? Y'all are charismatics. Work with me here. Word of knowledge. Come on. We need to pull some more hens' teeth. Right. A word of knowledge is when you know something you couldn't have known any other way. Right? Woman said to that woman at the well. Jesus said to that woman at the well, you've had five husbands and the guy you live with, you're shacking up with him right now. Word of knowledge. But you know, I believe the word of knowledge hits us all the time. And the word of wisdom and the discernment. And many times, we're just clueless. We're just not in touch. We're all about me, mine, mine. We're just not available. And after a while, the Holy Ghost says, why bother? But it's kind of cool. And I've learned because it may be the Holy Ghost just said to you, divorce, because that woman's going through a divorce. And he wants you to pull your buggy back and go over to him and say, excuse me, ma'am. Yo hablo inglés? I've said that in Houston. You know, half of them don't. But... And she says, see, and I speak English. Say, well, I felt like the Holy Spirit just spoke, by the way, if they're Spanish, if they're Hispanic, they're usually Catholic, and they like to talk about the Espíritu Santo It's okay. I like to minister to Hispanic. I love it. I live in a Hispanic neighborhood. And I'll say, Espiritu Santo, Jesus spoke to me that you're going through a struggle, a divorce or something. And all of a sudden, you know, her face lights up. She starts crying. Would that be cool? What are you supposed to do then? Leave the woman crying, crying, crying. No, you pray for her. Right? And then she starts telling you about her kids. You know, and she starts crying in the middle of this. And turns out she's trying to buy Christmas presents. It's $5, three kids, you know. And here you've got a $200, $300, and you try to buy something for yourself. What's Jesus saying? Can I add a minute? Is that the gospel of the kingdom or is it not? Now, my point is, why do we go to church? So we can come back next week? And then we come back the week after that? Again, think of it like you just live at the gas station. You just keep driving around the pump. You know? No, we go to church so we can learn to do the works and go out there. And that's what Jesus was teaching these guys. Let's look at verse 45. A few more verses here. Y'all seeing the lesson this morning? 6:45. You there? Mark 6. And straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before under Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he'd sent them away, he departed in a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them and walking on the sea and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed he had been a spirit, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked to them. He said, "Be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid." And he went up unto them, under the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were all sore, amazing themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Now here's, look at this verse, look at this. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, what? For their heart was hardened. Now isn't that interesting? See, they just went through discipleship 101, which was, I'm going to teach you guys to do the works of the kingdom. Now they're in discipleship 102. 101 was, it's in your hands that the bread multiplies. It's incumbent upon you to do the works of the kingdom. Now he figured, having seen a glimpse of the unseen world, let's ratchet it up a little bit. Jesus was up on the mountain having a quiet time. Apparently had a vision, because it was night. Must have had a vision, saw these guys toiling, so he decided to go out to them on the water. And he would have passed by them, but the reason why is he wanted to see what they'd do. And sure enough, as he suspected, they were utterly freaked out, zero faith, powerless before nature, and paralyzed and oblivious to his presence. Did you hear what I said? Utterly freaked out, zero faith, powerless before nature, and oblivious to his presence. Now, what had just occurred the day or two before? What did they see in their own hands? Miracles. What happened a day or two later? Zero faith, utterly powerless before nature, utterly oblivious before his presence. Does that speak of us? See? And again, these are lessons that Christ is trying to ratchet out. He's trying to teach them. Guys, this unseen reality, this unseen world is going on all the time. Now, there are going to be a lot of forces to keep you oblivious to it. But I've given you the equipment to maintain an awareness to live in a realm cognizant of this realm. But what's interesting, it says, it's because your hearts were hardened. Now, what I want to show you is that's the problem, is our heart to heart. What's that? Unbelief. You know what it is? They didn't connect the dots. They weren't connecting the dots and understanding that, you know, Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. And if I'm submitted to Jesus, all things are possible. And nothing is bigger than Jesus. And if Jesus can do this, he can do that. And therefore, I don't have to be afraid in any environment, in anything, Jesus is bigger than. But they couldn't connect the dots. They said, okay, well, now we know that wherever in a situation where we need extra food, Jesus will come through. But they, they did not have the faith for that out in the storm. See? In the storm, they completely forgot Jesus was Lord. And so they were back being in this realm, in the blindness of this realm. So he's trying to teach them, look guys, you have the same power out here in the storm that you had with the fish. okay? The problem is your heart's hard. And I think that's the problem most of us, our heart is hard. Because why? Because of the world. The influences of the world. That's why it says love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I'm going to be honest with you. If you watch TV, forget signs and wonders. Whoa, he just went from preaching to meddling, man. Now, I know, and I would agree, there are times and there are periodically some things on television that are decent and good. Yeah? But you really got to pick long and hard to find them. Can I understand that? There's a lot of stuff out there. It ain't Ozzie and Harriet and Father Knows Best. Can you imagine them having a show now called Father Knows Best? How many of y'all remember Father Knows Best? Well, the feminists would go nuts, huh? Father Knows Best. Yeah, I still believe Father Knows Best. Sorry. Sometimes. But the point is, it's just when you allow the influences of the culture to come into your mind and heart and spirit, folks, that hardens your heart and blinds you to the reality that we can't see, that Jesus is with us and all things are possible. My goal, and I am as susceptible to this yuck reality as anybody else, but my goal is to be so cognizant of that reality that when I hold a baby that needs a brain stem, okay, I can at least be in the place, in the heavenlies, that I can ask the Father and loose from the heavens brainstem. Now, I ain't there yet. Okay? But that's my goal. Or my goal is to train people to get there. So that when I love the lady's name is Wendy Montalbano, sweet lady in her early 30s, mid-30s. You know, loves Jesus, devoted, and it just breaks your heart. Do you know how much care a baby 8 months old is when it doesn't have a brainstem? I mean, 24/7, you're holding that thing. And, you know, how long it'll live. And it just completely dominates her waking life. And you go, Jesus, what are you saying? I think Jesus wants to heal that baby. Is he going to do it? I don't know. But the problem to me is not Jesus, and the problem is not the baby. What's the problem? It's moi. So I see it as a learning curve. In fact, God brought that baby to our church. That was the rebuke to me. That was what really started all this. It was a rebuke. It's like I went, whoa, dude, that's a hard one. You know, we somehow think healing replacing a brainstem and healing a headache, one's harder than the other, don't we? Come on, don't you think that a new brainstem or healing a headache is one's harder than the other? Come on. See, that's the reality we see. But in the heavens, if we're seeing the heavens and Jesus is Lord, what's harder? Nothing. But you see, our hearts are hard. Amen? And it's because of the world and the demons. And the demons have a vested interest in keeping our heart hard because they don't want you walking around with signs and wonders and casting out demons. How would you like to walk by somebody and your shadow heals? Huh? Yeah, but would you be a threat to the powers of darkness? So are the powers of darkness arrayed against you to keep you from happening? I just found out, where's Brother Noah? He left. I mean, I just found out this morning. I didn't know Brother Noah was ill for 7 weeks in the hospital. Till this morning. I wish somebody had emailed me. Praise God. But I said to him, you know, Brother Noah is writing a book on magic and the occult. And then he comes down with an illness. Do you think there could be a connection? Y'all know, y'all believe you need to pray for Brother Noel. That brother needs prayer cover. Writing books about the occult? Hello? Amen? Let's pray for him. Let's ask the Lord to put him in your prayer to intercede for that brother. So that book can come out. I love his rejection book. Amen? That big old book. A couple of the guys in my house, they actually gave each other that book for Christmas. It's true. You know? We do that secret Santa. I have a bunch of people live with me. You know that secret Santa thing? Where you buy a gift for somebody and you don't tell them. And a couple of them, that's what they wanted, was Brother Noel's book of rejection. I said, now I'm looking forward to one on magic. But, you know, the enemy has a vested interest to keep us blinded with hard hearts. Now let's close this morning so we can go eat. Chapter 8, verse 1. Chapter 8. Yes, sir, Mark. Mark 8. We're just going through teaching here. In those days, the multitude, being very great, had nothing to eat. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I'm compassionate to the multitude because they've now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And notice this time it's him bringing it up. I send them away fast in their own houses, they'll faint by the way, for some of them come from far away. The disciples, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Now that amazes me. Hello, just a few weeks before when it happened. But they already forgot. Oh, how are we going to feed the multitude bread? What had just happened about two chapters before? Come on, don't get too hard on them. He said, how many loaves do you have? They said, seven. And he commanded people to sit on the ground. He took the seven loaves. And he gave thanks and he broke and gave to his disciples, notice, to set before them. And they set them before them. Again, do you notice what he did? He said, again, guys, we're going to do this again. Do you know why I think this happened again? Because they forgot. They had to do it again. We have a patient God. Do you know what I mean? He taught them. A few weeks later, drained right out. Okay, well, let's just do it again. In the mouth of two witnesses, I'm going to show you. You can multiply food through your hands with me backing you twice. Verse 7, and they had a small few fishes. He blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat again that was left over, seven baskets. They had to eat with 4,000 people. Folks, that's a lot of bread and fish. So again, we see the disciples. In fact, if you'll look over to Matthew 15:36 this time, I just want to back it up. Flip over to Matthew 15:36. You see a backup. Yeah, 15:36. And he took the seven loaves and fishes, gave them, break them, and gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. There it is again. Matthew 15:36 is a backup. Again, it was the disciples that gave. It wasn't Jesus that did the multiplying. It was He was having them learn how to do the signs and wonders. And folks, I want to show you there's something going on here. He's teaching them that there's an unseen reality there to tap into and advance the kingdom. If you can leave with anything this morning, just remember this. I don't know how many of y'all understood in the Scripture that Jesus did not multiply the food through His hands, His disciples did. That Jesus has called you to do the signs and wonders. Let me tell you what our mandate is. It's found in Matthew 5. Jesus said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, freely you've received, freely give. But pastor, I'm not sure what the will of the Lord is. I'm not sure where I need to live. Just live it anywhere. Just remember that the heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers. Pastor, I'm not sure what job to get or where to go for my career. Well, I get some career. As long as you heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the lepers. Pastor, I'm not sure, you know, who I should marry. I have to marry somebody. As long as you heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the lepers. Can you hear that?
Amen.
We're all worried about what my will of the God. What did Jesus say? Heal the sick. I promise you, if you heal the sick, if you cleanse the lepers, aid patients, if you cast out devils, if you raise the dead, trust me, you'll marry the right person. You'll be in the right town. And you'll have the right job. And you'll have a place to live. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Chapter 8, verse 10. Two more places. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples, and he came into the parts of Dalmanutha, wherever that is. And notice this, guys. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking a sign from heaven. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. Oh, you got to put up with it, my disciples. Now, out and out, raw unbelief. Aggressive unbelief. Why does this generation seek a sign? There is no sign given to this generation. Ironically, just been given signs out of the wapper. They want a special sign from heaven. Notice they want a sign from heaven. You know why? Because he kept teaching them about the kingdom of heaven. You know, do you know what Jesus is, and John the Baptist, they came saying, repent for what? The
kingdom
is where? You know how you get into the kingdom of, you know, you, how many of y'all would like to live in the heavenlies like I'm talking about? Live in the realm. You want to know how? You ready? Repent. Y'all got that? John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is where? in the sweet by and by. Oh, it's at hand. See, He came to bring the heavenlies here. And how? To live in the heavenlies, to dispatch heavenly things on earth by binding and loosing, to be available. How do you stay there? Repent! Amen? You know what keeps you from living in the heavenlies? Sin! This is really complicated theology here. Sin keeps you in the earth. Sin keeps you in the mud. I did a sermon not long ago. Are you rolling in the mud or walking in the heavens? You know, and the devil's come to tempt you to sin. What do they do? The Eucharistos. Eucharistos is the Greek word in Romans. Y'all all know it. Hebrews 12. The sin that doth so easily beset you. You remember that one? The Greek word means an all-encompassing sin that has everything in its advantage to seduce you. The sin that doth so easily, laying aside every weight. And then the devil knows what cheese you like. See? I mean, that he knows your cheese. Now, you may like it. He may get you with Swiss, and he gets you with, right, Lindberger. He gets me with, I like American, you know. I mean, he knows how to get you. And you're sitting there, you know, well, I don't struggle in these areas like these other people. Thank God I'm not an adulterer, you know. Whoa. How many are glad you're not like that Pharisee? Don't raise your hand. Well, he gets you. It's a war, guys. But you know what I'm excited about? The incentive to not sin is not just to be good. Forget that. The incentive to not sin is to live like Jesus and to do what Jesus did. So that when I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. When I cast out demons, they will leave. Amen? When I encounter the dead, they will rise. That's the incentive to sin. You get to do the stuff and it works. Cool. It's fun. A little rocky here and there. A few little smidgens of problems. Everybody you know will reject you. You lose your best friend, be betrayed, cast out, your name is evil, you may lose everything. So what? You may get martyred. You may die early. You may be putting on a stake. Huh? Just ask him to hang you upside down because you're not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. So what? You get to do what Jesus did. And then you get to revel in that for trillions of years. You know what I mean? That's the kingdom of God that God's called us to live. So what happens here? Let's draw this. Where are we at? And he left them and departed, Mark 8:13, again to the other side. And the disciples had forgotten to take bread. I love this. And they only have one loaf. And he charged them saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. They reasoned. Oh, it's because we don't have any bread. You know, on the shore, Jesus encountered the unbelief of the Pharisees. He got in the boat. You know, he can't stand to abide in environments of cultural, intellectual cynicism. He hates it. Amen? We wonder why there ain't much anointing in America. Cultural, intellectual cynicism. You know where Jesus really, really, really moves? Meek, backward countries. Meek, backward, uncivilized Jesus moves. I have been privileged to be in India. I've gone there twice now. In certain areas of India. I've been to Argentina, never many places. Haven't been to Africa, but Central and South America in the Far East. I'm going to tell you what. We don't have a clue about power. You know, when I was in, it was Madras, India, but which is now Chennai. It's now named after a demon god. You know, most of the cities in India were named after the British. When the British ran it, well, they successfully... Bombay is now Mumbai, which is the name of a demon. They named the cities after demons. So Chennai, which is the place where Thomas the Apostle was martyred. I actually saw where the Apostle Thomas was buried. But I was ministering in Chennai or Madras, India. At a little church out by the lake, by the ocean. And the people all squatted and ate with their fingers off the big leaves, the rice. And they were grace. They gave me a chair and a fork. I got to eat with the American, gave him a fork. You know, I just couldn't eat with my fingers, guys. My mama told me all my life tonight. It was, and I'm in India. I'm sorry. I just can't get that out of my system. I don't even do it. They all eat like the thing. Okay. So I'm eating, and then they have me get up and preach, and they had a interpreter guy, because I certainly don't know Tamil. And I'm ministering. I forget what I think I preached on something along this line that night about power and signs and wonders and deliverance. And it can be long and complicated when you're going through an interpreter. But at the end, they have the people do the prayer lines so the preacher can pray for them. I'm always uncomfortable with that. You know, but out there in the third world, I just did it because that was what they wanted me to do. So I stood there and the people lined up and they came up and they would share with the interpreter and I would lay hands. And I'm going to tell you something. I must have prayed for 30, 40 people. I have never in my life experienced an open heaven like I did that night. I mean, it was like I could look up and there was the throne. Whoa, cool. Oh, and there's those four living beasts around. I mean, it was that open. And I would lay hands and there was significant manifestations. And praise God. And I got back to America and I was sharing that. And the next week I said, I'm going to try this here. So we had a prayer line. You know, in my church, right? I looked out, saw the ceiling. The fan. How many of y'all know it isn't us? It's an anointing. I told my wife, I like to get out of the United States at least every 18 to 24 months to remember how the kingdom really is. We just live in and you know what's sad? I love the internet. I do. And our ministry has opened many doors. But the internet has spread and propagated the gaga of the United States all over the world. Don't kid yourself. The internet is an American invention. And 90% of the stuff on there is, you know, our propaganda of our culture. But don't worry about it. We're all going to become one world anyway, and you know, fixing to happen. Now, what he said was, folks. He said, "I'm going to wind this up in 5 minutes." He said, "Beware of the Pharisees, of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." Now, I want to say something here. And of course, the disciples were as clueless as ever. Oh, you know, again, do you see? Don't judge them too hard. But what is the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod? And he said, beware of it, because it was the spirit that of cultural intellectualism that he knew would rob them of everything he was trying to train them. Well, I would submit the leaven of the Pharisees is the religious system, and the leaven of Herod is the political system. Herod was the political leader. Pharisees were in the religious sect. So he was warning, be careful of the spirit of religion, the spirit of the political system. Because those things will rob you of the kingdom mindset. Can you hear me? Now, I know in this political system season we're in right now, with presidential individuals aspiring to the presidency, I have some personal strong feelings of who I don't want in there. But I'm going to tell you something. So I don't think, and my brother here may disagree, and I respectfully submit my feelings, I don't believe the pulpit is a place to proclaim an individual, a political figure. First of all, you've got to be real careful. If you get behind the pulpit and you espouse one particular political figure, you're violating your 501c3 rules of IRS. You understand? You can't do that. And I really believe it's dangerous when you espouse one particular person, whoever it is. Because when you get in the political realm, folks, you're not in the kingdom realm. And I don't believe it's possible to run for president of the United States without serious compromise. I'm sorry. Yeah, the nature of politics is compromise. Undoubtedly. And you probably agree with me. And I'm not talking about any individual. But I'm saying, I'm going to say, brother, and I've been a political animal since the 70s. My little brother dated President Ford's daughter, believe it or not. My mom worked with the Reagan administration. I've got political roots way back. My daddy, I have a focus. Picture him and President Ford. I go way back with my very political family. Okay, I'm a political animal, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe there's any way you could run for President of the United States without compromising principle. Because the very nature of politics is compromise. And the problem is, I don't believe we're electing a Bible teacher or a pastor. We're electing a president. And it's a whole different round. You've got to be real careful. The reason is, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Beware of the spirit of the political system. And I'm seeing this happen. I've seen it happen. When you get into these particularly political seasons of presidencies that have a lot of ramifications for our life, it's tempting to get in there in that spirit. And I'm saying, Jesus saying, be real careful. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things of God. Keep it separate. There's real wisdom about that. Because as soon as you bring in a political figure, other people may legitimately say their political instincts or upbringing are different. And you have a division that's not kingdom. I happen to be very politically conservative. Extremely conservative. Okay? But I got a guy in my church that's a liberal. Okay? He's just as political. He was raised in Alaska, which is a very liberal state. And he loves Jesus, but he's kind of got some liberal leanings, okay? And I happen to like to listen to Rush Limbaugh. I don't believe everything Rush says. He's kind of a snob, but he's a bright guy, and he's fair. He's fair, and he has the most incredible ignoramuses on there, and he's very gracious to them. I like his spirit. But you know what? This particular brother is offended by Rush Limbaugh. So it's not my business from the pulpit to even bring up that man's name. You understand? I have my personal life and my feelings. That's fine. But when I'm standing behind the pulpit, this is the kingdom of God. Folks, this supersedes political.
Amen.
And you got to be careful. I'm warning. I'm really telling you because there's a spirit. And that's what Christ is saying. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Those sinned intellectual spirits will get in, and you begin to think that the solution is in this world. It's not. It's not this world. It's not whoever gets elected. Trust me, whoever gets elected, Jesus is still Lord. In fact, if certain ones get elected that I hope don't, and they do, Jesus will probably come back sooner. Get out of that. Because this country will be socialized, we're going to one world, boom, second coming, here we are. Get out of that. So, we got to look at it from God's perspective. All right, enough said. Did I offend anybody with that? Is that what Jesus said? Beware of the leaven. Just be careful. And I tell people, you can say anything from the pulpit, but keep your personal political feelings up away and separated from the propagation of the kingdom of God. Because you don't want anything to offend someone to moving in the realm of kingship. Of doing what? Casting out demons. Right? Healing the sick. Raising the dead. And cleansing lepers. Last place, in conclusion, verse 17. Chapter 18. Chapter 8, verse 17. So Jesus, when they said, it's because we have no bread. Folks, this is the most scathing rebuke, he ever gave his disciples. Jesus was human on one level. Are you guys going to get it? Hello? Two times, you mold in your own hands. You only have one loaf. What are we going to do? So what does he say? And I love it. He probably said very calmly, which is the worst kind of rebuke. No emotion, just, okay, let's go through this, guys. Why are you reasoning because we have no bread? Do you not perceive? Do you not understand? Have you your heart still hardened? Okay, let's go back. Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Maybe pointing to them. Do you have eyes? Do you have ears? Do you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves with the 5,000, how many baskets did you take up? Well, nine. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?
7.
Right, you can do the math. How is it? Now, folks, that rebuke is to you and I. They were clueless as always. And that rebuke is as warranted today. I think he's saying, look, the problem is a hard heart. You just allow yourself to be blinded by the reality you see. The truth is, why are you worried about the little bread? I'm Lord of all. I can turn anything into bread. I will not turn a stone into bread when Lucifer's tempting me. Right? When I'm fasting. But later on, man, he made mountains of bread. In fact, he even said, I am the bread of life. And if you eat of me, you'll never be hungry. So the rebuke to all of us, and the word is given to reprove, correct, and rebuke us, is how quickly we all, myself included, slip into a hard heart. And what is our real calling? It's to bring the kingdom of God. A kingdom come that will be done on earth that is as in heaven. How many of y'all are willing now to go forth after this camp meeting and wherever you are and to say those two words? How many of y'all willing to put that into your vernacular? I'm available. I'm available. Is that complicated? Now you may go into Walmart, or how many of y'all ladies go to Walmart? You heard about the guy that he said, when I die, bury me in Walmart's parking lot? He said, that way my wife will visit me every day. Wherever you go, you just say, I'm available. And it may be the first 15 times, nothing. That's all right. But the 16th time, somebody sneezes next to you. Can I pray for you? No. Sorry. And you'll get to the point, like I said, this lady, 65, she goes on these healing safaris. And I mean, she's going up with people in wheelchairs now. In fact, she called me. She said, I'm so excited. I went to Walgreens. This lady's in a wheelchair. I've never had anyone call me excited because they saw someone in a wheelchair before. Isn't that cool? Now, she didn't go pull the lady out of the wheelchair. But I would say that's a start. She's excited that she saw someone in a wheelchair. And that she's going to go to them and say, I just wondered if you would mind if I pray for you. Well, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us. I'd say just open our eyes. Like Jesus, you said, have you eyes and see not and ears? Lord, I'll be honest with you. Our eyes were blind. Our ears were deaf. Our heart is hard. And that's the truth, Jesus. And we thank you for your word and your patience and your Holy Ghost. So we pray, Lord, this morning that you would open our eyes to the kingdom and open our ears to hearing the voice of the Spirit. And Lord, open our heart. We can see, we have plenty of testimony of your provision, of your faithfulness. Can you hear that? Of you coming through, of you doing the miraculous. In this room, these folks of all. Lord, forgive us for living and doubting and stumbling in the dark. And we're to be lights of the world, Jesus. Called to be lights in a dark, perverted generation. Just ask the Lord to forgive you right now. Whatever the Holy Ghost might have convicted you of this morning as I was sharing, ask Him to have mercy. Maybe He's touched you. Maybe He's brought something to your mind. Maybe He's shown you that you've been avoiding. You've been allowing fear of man, which is a snare, or fear of rejection. Whatever. Go buy Brother Null's book if you've got fear of rejection. Get some deliverance. Well, you know, deliverance, folks, is not an end, it's a means. It's just to get the stuff out so you can do the right stuff. Amen? It's not some end. It's just to get the stuff out so you can go out there and do the stuff. Come, Holy Ghost. Jesus, we want to be lights in the world. Lord, I just pray this word will be just sealed in our spirit. Lord, a passion and a burning in our heart will bear good fruit. We pray a blessing over this lunch and our fellowship together, and everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.